Yuma Daf Chaf. We are starting on the Mishnah on Yutzes Amud Beis. We are continuing our discussion regarding the preparation of the Kohen Gadol and the training of the Kohen Gadol prior to Yom Kippur. We are already at the night of Yom Kippur. We're at Lel Yom Kippur, and we are attempting to keep the Kohen Gadol up all night. The Mishnah here is going to go over some various strategies in order to make sure that the Kohen Gadol does not go to bed that night. Why is he going to be staying up all night on Lel Yom Kippur? So presumably the best explanation, the most correct explanation, is that if in fact he were to go to bed, he would become a Baal Keri, thereby disqualifying him to do the Avoda, even though it was something that obviously he didn't intend to do, but it would make him Tameh, thereby disqualifying him to do the Avoda. And so in order to avoid that, so we avoid sleep altogether. That's the simplest explanation. Obviously, on the other side of that, there's going to be a tired Kohen Gadol the next day. The Gemara is going to note that a number of times. But nevertheless, so that was the practice, and the Mishnah here is going to be describing the strategies. Bikesh lehisna name, if in fact the Kohen is interested in going to sleep, pirchei kohuna makalafana betzetzreda, the young Kohanim are going to snap their fingers in front of him, trying to keep him awake. The omrim lo, and they say to him the following, yishi Kohen Gadol, Mr. Kohen Gadol, amod vehafeg achas al haritzpah. So go and stand on the floor. Rashi explains the word hafeg over here means to take a stroll across the floor. Umaasikin oso ashiaga zmanashchita, and we involve him, we keep him busy until we get to the zmanashchita. The Gemara is going to explain a little bit better detail some of the activities that are done regarding our Kohen Gadol to keep him up the whole night. The first discussion of the Gemara's Maitreda, when we say we snapping his fingers, what exactly does that mean? Seems to be that the Mishnah here is describing a specific finger that's going to be snapped in front of the Kohen Gadol. So can we identify that specific finger? So the Gemara says, my Tzreda, I'm Rav Yehuda, Tzara Sa Dida. Tzreda is actually a contraction of the finger that's next to this one. Tzara, like by a co-wife. So over here, it means the one that's next to. So Tzara Sa Dida, it's next to this one. Well, that would be helpful if we knew what this one was, meaning which finger are we talking about and which finger are we talking about that's next to it. So, Mahi, that's Gemara's very next question. So, go, dump. So it's talking about the thumb. So it means to say that the thumb and the index finger, so those are the fingers that are going to be snapped in front of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, I'm attempting to snap my fingers right now. Usually it's the thumb against the middle finger. Okay, but back then, they must have had a different way of snapping. Machle Ravuna va'azol kala bekule be'rav. Ravuna demonstrated how the snapping would go. He snapped his fingers in the base medrash. She got everyone's attention. So when the Mishnah says al achas, so according to Rav Yitzchak, it's al chadas. He's a chiddush. In other words, something novel is being done. So Mahi, what exactly was that novelty? So Amrile achve kida. So what he demonstrated was kida. Kida, we've gone over a number of times about chas. Kida is some sort of acrobatic maneuver. Rashi describes where basically you stick your thumbs into the ground, you bend down and you kiss the ground and you put all your weight on your fingers. The Gemara elsewhere talks about how Levi tried to attempt such a maneuver. It didn't work out for him. Anyway, so, but basically to be involved in acrobatics, assuming of course the Kohen Gadol can be involved in such acrobatics, so that would be a way of keeping him up. So Tana lo hayu masikin oso lo b'neva v'lo b'chinor, in terms of getting him involved, making noise around him, in order to keep him up the whole night. So the Mishnah says we're not going to use any kinds of instrument. It's obviously interesting that the Gemara, according to Brisa, says that we're not going to be using any kinds of instruments. What would be the Havamina that we would use instruments? Obviously, we're talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur has the same status of Shabbos. Shabbos, you're not allowed to play instruments, presumably Yom Kippur as well. I know we're in the base of Mikdash, and normally we do say in Shvus B'Mikdash. But okay, so it's a little bit curious that for a moment we're entertaining the idea that we're playing instruments. Anyway, the Brisa rejects that. The Brisa says we're not playing instruments. Not Nevo, not Kinor, Elabepet, but rather what we're going to be doing is that we're going to be talking in front of him. Mayu Omrim. And what do we say? In other words, what words of encouragement do we say to the Kohen Gadol to keep him up the whole night? Im Hashem, lo yivne ba'yishav, amalo bonimbo, kash baruch hu, would not be building the base of Mikdash in vain. Meaning that the obvious purpose of the Kohen Beis HaMikdash is so that we do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash, and so hopefully that will incentivize the Kohen Gadol. Mikari Yerushalayim la Yushanim kol alayla kadesh yishma Kohen Gadol kol avara. So the noblemen of Yerushalayim, so they wouldn't be sleeping that night, and basically what they would do is they would make noise throughout Yerushalayim that night. The Kohen Gadol would be hearing their noise, and it would again encourage the Kohen Gadol to stand up, to stay up the whole night. What noise would be made from the noblemen of Yerushalayim? So the Gemara over here is not clear. There is a Tosefta that describes that they were learning Torah, going back to yesterday's daf. Velo teheshonem I should have read that from before anyway. And so that he doesn't fall asleep. So that's the Yikire Yerushalayim would be up learning loudly around him in order to keep him up the whole night. Tanya, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Abba Shaul Omer, Af Bigvulin Hayu Osekein Zech LeMikdash. So Abba Shaul notes that there was a minhag where outside of Yerushalayim, the minhag was on Lo Yom Kippur, that people would stay up the whole night, just like there was a minhag in Yerushalayim by the Kohen Gadol. So likewise, there was also a minhag outside of Yerushalayim as well, but the Gemara immediately notes that the minhag didn't go as well. Elishayu Chotim, the Braisa says very clearly that they tried this minhag and people were involved in chay. As we're going to see in just a moment, Rashi over here is exceedingly clear. So Mesachim Anashim Anashim Rashi writes, Yachud Avayim La'Avera. So there was a lot of socialization between men and women, and more than just socialization, as Rashi over here describes. Zamar Abayi V'Temer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Tirgama Nahardam. Da Amr Lei Eliyahu L'Rav Yehuda. So and the Gemara now notes the dialogue that takes place between Abaye and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And the conversation was between Eliyahu and Rav Yehuda. The Amar Lei Eliyahu L'Rav Yehuda, Achua de Rav Sala, Chasida, the brother of Rav Sala. Amrisu Amaylo Asu Mashiach. And the question is very simple. Why is the Mashiach come at this point in time? The Ha'idna Yumadi Kippur, who in fact today happens to be an extraordinarily auspicious day, it's Yom Kippur. And is there a reason why Mashiach hasn't come yet? The Amaylo Asu Mashiach, the Ha'ina Yuma de Kippurhu, the Evel Kama Besulta Ben Ardam. So this seems to be the response already. The answer is because look, there were unfortunately a lot of promiscuity that takes place even on Yom Kippur, even in the town of Narda. And he says very graphically that there were many virgins who no longer were virgins, and seemingly on Yom Kippur. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mayamar. So what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to this? Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously knows, and does he have a response to it? So the Gemara says, as we now turn to the top of Chaf Amud Aleph, Lefeta Chatas Raveitz. Meaning, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that this is part of the Yetzahara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued us with the Yetzahara, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't excuse the behavior, but he certainly understands the behavior. Vesata Mayamar, what's the Satan's response to this? So what's his response? Amalei Satan Yuma de Kippur, Leslay Rishus El Istune. So Satan has no right, has no permission to incriminate on the day of Yom Kippur. Mimai, and the Gemara gives us a Gemachia that, quite frankly, is a very popular Gemachia, but it's based on our Gemara over here. Amar Rami Barchama Hasata Megamachia Tlas Mea Vishisan Ve'arba'a Have. So if you take a look at the word Hasatan with the hand in the front, so it comes out to the Gematria of 364, Tlas Mea Vishisan Ve'arba'a Yume Isle Vishusel Istune. That means the sun basically goes to work 364 days of the week, but Yom Kippur Le Isle Vishusel Istune. But on Yom Kippur, one day of the year, so he does not have that kind of permission, that kind of authority to incriminate on the day of Yom Kippur. Okay, obviously the number over here is based on a solar calendar and not a lunar calendar, but still the point is the same, that there's a certain koach that is preventing the satan to do any kind of incrimination on the day of Yom Kippur. Obviously, I'll just make a point that probably shouldn't need to be made, but obviously that does not give us carte blanche to do what we want. But at the same time, however, the chataim, any of the sins that are going to be done on Yom Kippur, so there are, to a certain degree, going to be they're going to be less amplified. Okay, again, do I know what any of this means in practical terms? No, and I certainly don't understand practically what kind of differences that would make. But certainly, a small window into the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates as for Yom Kippur as opposed to the other days of the year. Okay. Anyway, certainly it is shocking, right? I don't want to let the Gemara go without noting how shocking it is that these kinds of behaviors are being practiced on Yom Kippur. Meaning, you would think that in Yom Kippur we would probably be on our best behavior, and some of the descriptions that we just saw in the Gemara over here does not describe our best behavior. In fact, just the opposite. So it's absolutely shocking, and certainly could give a little bit more explanation to our minhag. The minhag already goes back to the time of the Gemara, that on Mincha and Yom Kippur. So we're reading from the Arayas, from Parshas Arayas in Achrimos, which in of itself is an unusual selection in terms of what we're leaning on Yom Kippur. But certainly after reading this Gemara, So we get a little bit of a clearer picture in terms of why specifically we're reading the Arayos on Mincha of Yom Kippur. We are continuing. We're in Chaf Amud Aleph. We're starting now with the next Mishnah. B'chol Yom Tov Esam Mizbech B'kriyas Gevro Samech Lo Bein Lefana Bein La'achar. So the Mishnah over here describes the Mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. So before going and explaining the Mishnah in detail, just a quick background and a small introduction to the Mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Every day in the Beis HaMikdash, there is a number of avodas to be done. The first avoda of the day, in terms of a carbon, of course, is the Tamashel Shachar. No carbon is allowed to be offered before the Tamashel Shachar. So certainly it's the first avoda that's done during the day. Now, what I just said is accurate, but it's not perfectly correct. In fact, there's another avoda that precedes the Tamashel Shachar every day, and that is the Trumas Hadeshen, the mitzvah of the Torah to take a portion of the ashes that found itself on the top of the Mizbeach and take it off the Mizbeach, just one shovelful of the ashes from the top of the Mizbeach and take it off the Mizbeach. The Gemaras in Talmud go and give a clear description in which a shovelful will be taken off from the top of the Mizbeach of the ashes. It doesn't necessarily represent all the ashes on top of the Mizbeach. In fact, there may be a mound of ashes on top of the Mizbeach, but to perform the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, so one shovelful of the ashes is just simply taken off of the top of the Mizbeach, walked down the ramp southbound. Then he's going to be making two left-hand turns. He's going to find himself now basically by the east side of the Kavish, a little bit closer to the lower end of the ramp, and he's going to deposit the shovel full of ashes over there. And that is the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. The mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen is, in fact, the first avoda that's going to be done every day. And our Mishnah over here is going to be discussing that on Yom Kippur, the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen is not going to be normally where it's placed. When is the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen normally done? So that's what we're learning right now in our Mishnah. Typically, it's done sometime immediately prior to dawn. The Mishnah here is describing it as Kriyas Hagever. Kriyas Hagever, presumably, the Mishnah here and the Gemara does not make this point abundantly clear, but presumably the time of Kriyas Hagever is going to be slightly before dawn, slightly before Amud HaShachar. And so about this time, so the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen will be done. What also is not going to be clear, and Rashi and Tosfos on this daf, on the Amud Beis of this of today's daf, is going to discuss it in slightly more detail. Tosfos is going to discuss it in a lot more detail in terms of whether or not the Trumas Hadeshen on Yom Kippur is going to be done by the Kohen Gadol. That also is not abundantly clear. All the other avodas are done by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. That we know for sure, but the Trumas Hadeshen itself, it really kind of, it probably figures into whether or not the Trumas Hadeshen is viewed as part and parcel of the avoda or basically some subcategory of an avoda. But either way, the Mishnah starts off, B'chol Yom Tov Mitzvah Mizbech B'kriyas Hagever. So every day, in other words, on a standard day in the Beis HaMikdash, so the Trumas Hadeshen would be done B'kriyas Hagever. Kriyas Hagever. So right now I'm going to translate it as immediately prior to dawn. It's not a good translation. By the end of the daf, we'll have a much better understanding of what Kriyas Hagever is. Osamach lo bein lefana bein la'acharav. Now, it doesn't have to be precisely at that point. It could be a little bit beforehand. It could be a little bit afterwards. V'yama kippur mechatzos. Now, on Yom Kippur, so Trumas Hadeshen has moved up to midnight, meaning it's done earlier in the evening. It's done around midnight. And over regalim, now on Yantav, b'ashmura, me'ashmura, rishon of and on Yantav, it was already done by the Ashmura Rishona. Night is broken up into three mishmaros. Hopefully you remember that from the Gemara in Brachos. Hopefully I remember. It was in the very beginning of Masechta Brachos, how the night's divided up. There actually are two opinions. One opinion is that it's broken up into three mishmaros. Another one is broken up into four mishmaros. Either way, the first mishmar ends sometime towards the first part of the evening. So just for purposes of simplicity, let's say 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, sometime around there, on Yom Tov, that's when the mitzvah of the Trumas Hadeshen is done. And by the time you got to Kriyas Hagever on Yom Tov, so the entire Azor was filled up with juice. We'll talk more about that in tomorrow's daf. Kanan Hasan, we're going to start with a Mishnah in Zvachim. The Mishnah in Zvachim describes the mitzvah of burning the Evarim over the course of the night. Let's take a standard carbonola. Standard carbonola, all the limbs have to go up onto the Mizbech and be burnt on top of the Mizbech. You can burn the limbs during the day on the day that you offer the carbon, and most practically and probably you're burning the limbs over the course of the evening. The mitzvah of burning the limbs could occur over the course of the entire evening. The Mishnah Megillah tells us that when it comes to the burning of the fats in the limbs of a carbonos, you have the whole night to do so. What the Mishnah here in Zvachim is going to be describing is at what point in time is the mitzvah done? When do you get a check for the mitzvah of burning of burning the limbs. So the Mishnah goes on to write, so if I have any limbs that fly off of the Mizbech, there's a lot of heat on top of the Mizbech, right? It's a raging fire on the top of the Mizbech. So based on all the heat and energy, so it could very well be that a limb is just going to fly right off the Mizbech and land on the floor on the Azara. So the Mishnah says that if it's before Chatzos, the Kohen's going to go pick it up and bring it up and put it back up onto the Mizbech. And also the Mishnah adds, subject to the Isser of Me'ilah. If someone were to misappropriate it, that is still Kachi Hashem. It still belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi points out over here, if it's prior to the mitzvah being completed and before Chatzos, it's considered as if the mitzvah has not yet been completed, and therefore it's going to be subject to Me'ilah. Anyone who misappropriates it is going to be in violation of the Isser of Me'ilah with all the ramifications of Me'ilah. After chatzos lo yachzir ve'in mo'alim bahem. So if a limb were to fly off after chatzos, so then there's no need to bring it back up to the top of the mizbech. You could leave it there. Good. Just as a quick synopsis of the Gemara in Zvachim, that's the Mishnah in Zvachim, and Daf Pevav. The Gemara in Zvachim points out over there that if you have a limb that flies off after chatzos and it's a limb that's not charred at all, in other words, it's still basically a, you know, it's a fleshy raw piece of meat, and it's not yet been charred. So then, even after chatzos, so you have not fulfilled the mitzvah burning it, and it's got to go up onto the top of the mizbech. Conversely, if you have a meat that flies off before chatzos, but it's totally reduced to char, and literally it's bone dry. So under those circumstances, you don't have to put it back up onto the mizbech. So what the Mishnah here is describing is meat that's somewhere in between. Being raw, so to say, and being totally charred. That's the Gemara in Zvachim in a very brief nutshell. But anyway, what's clear from the Mishnah over here is that there is some sort of threshold at night, meaning midnight, where prior to midnight, so there's still going to be a mitzvah of haktara, and after midnight, assuming that it's burnt already, there's no longer a mitzvah of haktara. And the nafkamina would be is that what if it flies off the mizbech before midnight? You got to put it back up again after midnight. You don't have to put it up again. That's basically a synopsis of the Mishnah Zvachim. Why are we learning the Mishnah Zvachim over here? Because as we're going to see, our Mishnah is going to weigh in on a particular point, which we're about to get to. But first, we need a little bit more information before we go back to our Mishnah. Minahani Mila, the Gemara's question is very simple. This idea that there's a difference between before and after Chatzos, so where does this idea come from? So Amar Rav, Kasavechad Omer Kol Alayla Viktiv, Kasavechad Omer Kol Alayla Veherim. So Rav notes that there's a discrepancy between Pasuk and one Pasuk. The Gemara here is not quoting the full Pasuk, but the idea is from the first Pasuk is that Haktara seems to be done all night. Another Pasuk says that Harama, the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, is to be done all night. Haketzad. Now, which one is it? Are we burning the whole night? Are we doing Trumas Hadeshen the whole night? So what we're going to do is that we're going to take the night, we're going to divide it into two parts. So Chetzil Haktar veChetzil Harama. So half the night, the first half of the night is going to be for burning. That's going to be up till midnight. And then for the second part of the night, from midnight for going forward, so that will be for the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. This is Rav's understanding of how to be miyashiv, the two psukim, which at face value are contradicting one another. So Mezer Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana hears this, and Rav Kahana says, no, that can't possibly be the pshat. Why? Because now we get to look at our Mishnah, meaning the whole reason why we brought in the Mishnah in Zvachim and Rav's explanation is because our Mishnah over here is going to serve as a very difficult question against Rav's understanding of the Mishnah in Zvachim. And we're just going to simply run through our Mishnah again. B'chol yom tarmim sa mizbech b'kriyas ha-gevro o samach lo b'yim alafon b'yim alachara v'yom ikipur mechatzos uv'regalim me'ashmar rishona. So we just went over our Mishnah in terms of the times of doing the Trumas Hadeshen. Now, the last point of the Mishnah, which we just went over, is that on Yantav, you're going to be doing the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen sometime around 10 or 10 or 11 o'clock at night. In other words, well before midnight. And as the Gemara now asks the question on the top of Chafa Menala, V'yisakadatcha, Mechatzos Daraisa. Now, you're telling me that according to Rav, it's how to be Miyashi of the two Pesukim, which means that according to Rav, the pre-Chatzos period is the Din Daraisa. So, Heichem Ekdimimon. So, how can we move up the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, if according to Rav, it's really a din Torah, that Trumas Hadeshen cannot be done until after midnight. So how in the world could you be makdim? How could we do it? How could we do it at an early point in time? It seems to be such a strong question. Meaning, on Yantav, we move it up, but seemingly, we don't have the license, we don't have the justification to do so. Now, in the parentheses, you will know, it says also, v'hechi ma'achrinan. and how can we delay it? Now Rashi says this should take the girsa out. You can see the top tosis over here where tosis keeps the girsa in, and tosis explains the girsa. See the top tosis in terms of how to understand it. But right now, suffice to say that our Mishnah is difficult. We'll just right now stay with Rashi's pshat. It's difficult, and it's hard to imagine that Rav is right, that min ha-Torah, there's a difference between before and after chatzos. So Elam Rav Yochanan, so Rav Yochanan says no. Okay, so what we're going to do now is that we're going to revisit the drushas, and we're going to give a whole different reason behind the drusha about the and give a whole new explanation for the Mishnah Zvachim about there's a difference between before chatzos and after chatzos. And as Rashi points out over here, Elam Rav Yochanan lo tema chetzel lakach vechetzel lakach. Rav Yochanan is not subscribing at all to this idea of that we're going to take the night and divide into half. Ela hachidar shakasav hakasha kol alayla bein laktara she'ein meukalim bein laramim im yesh deshen meukal. So as far as the pesukim are concerned, there's no problem with the pesukim whatsoever. Any piece of meat that has not yet been charred, so you have the whole night to burn it. And any piece that's already charred, so you just simply take off trumas deshen, and that's the whole night. V'chatzos d'ose ikol be'ivarim shemashlam ha'or me'hacha nafka me'mashma shenemra ba'aktara kol alayla al-mogda eini yodea sh'ad ha'boka kari layla. Okay, and the truth of the matter is now Rashi is bringing us back to the Gemara. So let's just go run to the Gemara. So basically, Rav Yochanan totally rejects this idea that we have to make shalom between the two psukim. We don't have to make shalom between the two psukim. One pasuk is talking about anything that's charred, and one pasuk is talking about anything that is still needs to be burnt. And as far as now making a distinction between before and after chatzos, so now let's go back to the Gemara. So Elam Rav Yochanan Mimashma Shenemar Kol Alayla Eni Yodea Shu Ad HaBoker Matam Alomar Ad HaBoker. So the fact that the Torah says Ad HaBoker, so what is the Torah trying to generate when saying Ad HaBoker? Once the Torah says Kol Alayla, so we already know Ad HaBoker. So what are we learning with the words Ad HaBoker? So Tem Boker LeBekaru Sholayla. So what it means is that we're going to give an additional Boker, meaning Boker, and of course normally means the morning. But by virtue of the fact that the Torah says that we're going to be doing it Ad HaBoker, so that means that there's another Boker, meaning that what we're going to do is that in the evening, we're going to add a period of boker into the evening. And that means to say that, well, it's really not specific in terms of how much a boker is. Boker is morning, and that's not a specified amount of time. But once we're cutting into the evening, so then logically one would say that we're going to go to a point in time where we could take the evening and divide it into two equal parts, otherwise known as mendain. Hilkach. So that means to say is as follows. Before we get to the Hilkach, so that means to say like this, that if you have any of the carbon that's totally burnt and totally charred, so that's now eligible for the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. And if you have meat that's not that's not burnt at all, so then they have the mitzvah of Aktar the whole night. What are we doing over here with Chatzos before and after Chatzos? That has to do with the fact that we have an extra word of Ad HaBoker, which means to say that if I have a piece that flies off the Mizbeach and it's not been reduced to ashes, it's not been charred, but at the same time, it's pretty dry. So at that point in time, it depends when it flies off. If it flies off before Chatzos, you got to put it back on again. And if it flies on after Chatzos, you don't have to put it on again. Okay, so now, comes out that according to Rav Yochanan, min ha-Torah, Trumas Hadeshen can be done at any point during the night, as long as you have ashes. So now the Gemara goes on to explain, Hilkach. B'chol yom tor mimus ha-mizbech v'kriyas ha-gevros ha-mechloa b'im ha-lefan ha-b'im ha-acharav sagya. So on a standard day, so the Trumas Hadeshen is going to be done either slightly before or after Kriyas HaGever again, sometime right immediately prior to dawn. And Yom Kippur, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol being weak, Avdina Mechatzos. So then from that point forward, we're going to do it from Chatzos and onward. Uvirigalim, now I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. Uvirigalim, the Nefisha Yisrael, the Nefisha Karbanos. Now on Yontif, so you have a lot of Kohanim and you have a lot of Karbanos. As we've learned already, on Yontif, so all the Kohanim gather and are officially invited back to the Beit HaMikdash. And so you have all the Mishmaros of all the Kohanim. In addition to that, you also have a vast majority of the Jewish people who are bringing Karbanos, the Shamich Hagiga, the Olos Re'iyah. So all the Karbanos that they need to bring for Yontif. Shami Simcha on top of that. So as a result of that, the volume of people that are going to be there is going to be so immense. So therefore, we want to do the Trumas Hadeshen as early as possible in order to ensure that there will be ample enough time so that all the Jews that are there and all the Kohanim that are there are going to have a little bit more negotiating room in terms of working. So therefore, nefishi, so on nefishi karbanos avdinim yashmar sevashona kidiktani taima. In fact, on that, the Mishnah spells out the reason, meaning the Gemara now is just simply pointing out, you read that into the Mishnah. The Mishnah actually reads, lo haisa kriyasa gever magasa chahaisa azar malei misrael. The Mishnah actually describes that by the time dawn came around in the base of Mikdash on Yantiv, so the entire Azar was filled with Jewish people. Okay. So we're almost ready to go on, meaning so now we've basically explained, according to Rav Yochanan, that there is no din midah araisa, that the Shumas Adeshin can only be done from Chatzos and onward. Shumas Adeshin can be done at any point during the night, as long as it's charred, as long as it's burned, you could do the mitzvah of Shumas Adeshin. On a typical day, we're doing it from about dawn. On Yom Kippur, we do it at Chatzos, and on Yantav, we do it even earlier, just to make room and to provide more time for all Klal Yisrael to offer the karbanos. Okay, the Gemara just told us that on Yom Kippur we're going to do it at midnight because of Chulshu de Kohen Gadol. Now, at this point in time, it's really unclear, and it's open for discussion, interpretation. Shem Chulshu de Kohen Gadol. So, what does that mean, Chulshu de Kohen Gadol? So, if you take a look at Rashi over here, so Biyom Kippurim Diko Chulshu de Kohen Gadol Sharei Alav Levado Hu Mutal Tzarech Lashkim Yoser. So, from Rashi, it seems pretty clear that Rashi writes that the Kohen Gadol is going to be involved in the Trumas Adeshin. And so, since he's going to be doing everything, including the Trumas Adeshin as well, so let him start a little bit earlier. He's got a lot of work coming up later that day. So, if the Trumas Adeshin is done just a little bit earlier, it'll give him a chance to unwind a little bit after having done the Trumas Adeshin, in order to do the Avoda later on. You can see the Baam Tosfos over here running into Chaf Aleph, where he really goes back and forth in terms of whether or not the Kohen Gadol is going to be involved in the Avodah of the Trumas Adeshin. He agrees that fundamentally Kohen Gadol is going to be doing all the Avodahs of Yom Kippur, but does that also include the Trumas Adeshin? So see the Baam Tosfos over here for that discussion. Rashi's position over here is very clear. Tosfos cites a number of the Balei Tosfos who each have an opinion on this particular issue. We go back to the Gemara and we're going to finish up. The Gemara goes on. My Kriyas HaGever. So, we said that the Trumas Adeshin on a standard day is done around Kriyas HaGever. Now, what does that mean? Meaning, well, the Gemara now is looking for an actual interpretation of the words Kriyas HaGever. So far, we've been saying that Kriyas HaGever just means a little bit before dawn. But that's not a definition. That just simply is when it is. So, Rav Amar Kra Gavra. So, Rav says that the correct understanding is that there's a person calling out of Eker. And he's calling out, and he's waking everyone up. And it's sometime slightly before dawn. But that the word Kriyas HaGever is talking about a Gavra. It's talking about a person. And Rav Shila Amar Kra Tanagola. And Rav Shila says, no. The word Gever over here is to be understood as a rooster. The rooster calls out. From the Gemara, even from Rashi, it is really not clear as to whether or not there's an actual time differential between the opinions of Rav and Rav Shila. Are they just arguing about the definition of what the words Kriyas HaGever mean, or is there an actual nafkamina? We're not going to get any sense from that from the Gemara whatsoever. The Gemara is really not clear about this point. Rav Ikal Asr de Rav Shila, lo hava amor le mekem alad de Rav Shila. The Gemara tells the following story. Rav goes to the town of Rav Shila. Rav Shila did not have an Amora. He didn't have a human microphone. Back in the day, we've gone over this numerous times. So the Amora would be saying shir to everybody, but in order so that everybody would hear, so there would be a human microphone, somebody broadcasting the message of the whoever the Rav was that was speaking. So kam Rav Allah v'kam efarish. Now it happens to be that of all the people, Rav said, you know what, I'm here anyway, so I'll serve as a human microphone. So Rav now is serving as the Amora, the human microphone, for Rav Shila. And now they are happen to be discussing the topic of Kriyas HaGever, the Kamafarish. Now this is Rav, and Rav over here is now going a little bit off script, meaning if he asked Rav Shila what the Kriyas HaGever was, so Rav Shila would obviously describe it as a tarnagol, as a rooster. But Rav's position is that Kriyas HaGever is talking about a person. So when Rav now is echoing that which he hears Rav Shila saying Shiran, so up comes the topic of Kriyas HaGever, the Kamafarish, my Kriyas HaGever, Kra Gavra. So Rav now explains that Kriyas HaGever is Kra Gavra. It's a human calling out. So Amale Rav Shila Velem Amar Kratanagola. So Rav Shila says now to the Amora. Now at this point in time, it's pretty clear. You'll see why I say this. It's pretty clear that Rav Shila does not yet know that this is Rav. So he looks at the Amora and says, you know, that's a curious explanation that you're giving of the Kriyas HaGever. You're saying it's a human. I think it's a rooster. So Amar Lei. So Rav gives back with a very sharp answer. Avuv lachari, the flute that was used for the nobleman. Zemer legardai lamekabla minei. So the flute that's used for noblemen, you don't think that the weavers can enjoy the same flute as well? And the basic idea, and the Gemara is going to spell it out, is that Rav's going to say to Rav Shila, look, I've said this pshat in front of Gedolim. All right, the Gedolei Amoraim, as we'll see in just a moment, the Gedolim of Tanaim. And they were perfectly fine with this pshat. And now you want to challenge, you want to question the pshat? So, Kiava ka'imne aled Rabbi Chia. I said this very pshat in front of Rabbi Chia. Now we know Rav was a student of Rabbi Chia, was a nephew of Rabbi Chia. So he says, I said this pshat in front of Rabbi Chia, and he loved it. He was fine with it. And you now want to tell me that there's a different pshat, there's a better pshat. So Amrlei Marnihu, Rav Nenachmar. So at this point in time, now Rav Shila puts everything together and now figures it out. I'm not really sure why it is that he didn't know it was Rav prior to this point in time. It could very simply be that he didn't recognize Rav. Okay, it's that possibility, whatever the case was. He didn't recognize up until now that it was Rav, and now he's getting a handle on the fact that this is none other than Rav. And he's amazed. He's, right, first of all, you're Rav, so Nenachmari. So he says to him, basically, sit down, meaning this is beneath you. You shouldn't be the one serving as my human microphone. Rav Shila at that point in time was humiliated. He felt terrible. So Amrlei Amri Inshe E Tagrele puts Amri E Tagrele puts Amri. So Rav says to Rav Shila, no, I'm perfectly fine doing the avodah at this point in time. Look, you're hired for a day. So and he says that you got to comb flax. You comb flax. In other words, Rav says, look, I'm here. I'm doing the work. It's fine. It's totally fine. Now Ika Da Amri Hachi Amrlei Malam Bekosh Velo Maridin. In a slightly different version of what Rav responded to Rav Shila when Rav Shila says, this is just not. It's not shaykh for you to be the human microphone. So the second version is that Rav says back to Rav Shila, look, Malam Bekosh Velo Maridin, you go up in Kedusha, you don't go down in Kedusha. Meaning, at this point in time, I already started. And what are you going to do? You're going to replace me with somebody else? And that somebody else is going to be on my level? So no. So Malam Bekosh Velo Maridin. Only go up in Kedusha, don't go down in Kedusha. So what we got is, first of all, a fantastic story. What we also got now is still, we're in the middle of a machlokas between Rav and Rav Shila in terms of the Kriyas Agevra mentioned in our Mishnah. What does that make? What is there a reference to? And so it's a machlokas between the Amoraim, Tanya Kavasi Rav, Tanya Kavasi Rav Shila. So what the Gemara now is going to do is that first it's going to quote a brisa supporting Rav and then quote a brisa supporting Rav Shila. Tanya Kavasi Rav, so we have a brisa supporting Rav. And tomorrow we'll go over brisa supporting Rav Shila. But meanwhile, the Bryson supporting Rav Gvini Kruz Mahu Amr. So Gvini, so he was a vekker. He was the one who woke people up in the Beis Hamikdash. So what would he say? So he's waking everyone up. Kohanim have to go do the avodah. Levim have to get ready to sing shir. And as far as Yisrael is concerned, the ma'amados. When we get to the Gemara Tanis, we'll discuss ma'amados in much greater detail. Vaya kol nishma b'shosh parsos, and you can hear his voice three parsos away. Ma'isa ba'agrippas ha'melech shaya ba'biderech. Agrippas was traveling. The king Agrippas was traveling. V'shama kol b'gimel parsos, and he hears his voice by three parsos. Ukshebala beiso shigalo matanos, and he was so impressed, and he. And he sent gifts to Gvini Cruz, that he was able to hear him three parsos away. Just to give all of us an idea of what we're talking about, three parsos away. So, Pars is approximately 3 miles, give, take. So it's approximately 3 miles. We're talking about being able to hear it 9 miles away. So it's, that sounds something that's just, it's amazing. It's a superhuman feat. The Alpha Pekin calling God the Meshubach Mimenu. Now the Gemara says, now Gvini Cruz is impressive. But the Gemara says, I just want to spend a minute going over how much more impressive is the Kohen Gadol is on Yom Kippur. The Amar Markvar Amar Ana Hashem, because when the Kohen Gadol now is doing the vidui and he says the words Ana Hashem, Venishma Kolob Yericho, he's able to be heard in Yericho. Va'amar Rabba Barbachana Amar Yochem Yishalim Li Yericho Yid Parsi. Now that's 10 parses. So Gvini Cruz was able to vocalize and produce a sound that went three parses, and meanwhile the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur can go 10 parses. And the Gemara says, and the Kohen Gadol is much more impressive for a lot of reasons. So first of all, Gvini Cruz got a good night's sleep, and the Kohen Gadol did not get a good night's sleep. So that's point number one to the Kohen Gadol in terms of why it's more impressive. And then point number two, v'hacha, yamama v'asam leila. Also, the Gvini Cruz is doing it at night. Remember, he's waking up everyone up right before dawn, so he's doing it at night, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol with the Vidui. So that's done during the day, And again, it's just much more impressive during the day. During the day, so there is a lot that is combating the sound that you're making. The Gemara is about to explain. The Amar of Levi, mipnei ma, in kolosh adam nishma b'yom kiderach shenishma b'layla. You know, voice carries, sound carries a lot better at night than during the day. Why should that be? Mimnei galgal chama, shem min naser barakia kecharash, min naser barazim. It's like the sun that's basically cutting its way through the sky, through the firmament, like a carpenter cuts his way through wood. So basically, it's that grinding sound. So it's constantly there, and it therefore is going to cancel a lot of the noise that's made during the day. V'hai chirga diuma lashmei. Now, you could basically see this. You look through a window where the sun is shining, and you're going to see the particles, and the Gemara over here is describing it. That's the chirga diuma. And it happens to go by the name of La. Okay, the La over here, not the word Lo, but La, meaning that's what the name is of these particles that are, quote-unquote, being sawn off by the sun. And you actually see this in the Pesukim in Daniel, in the fourth paragraph of Daniel, where Nevuchadnezzar comments on these particles that are coming off. Tana Rabbanu Amale Galgal Chama Nishma Kol Hamona Shel Rami. Had it not been for the Galgal Chama, we would be hearing the sounds of Rome. Okay, now the Gemara over here could very well be understood on some sort of literal basis, but most probably the Gemara over here is to be understood on a much deeper level, on a level that I'm not prepared to explain right now. But in other words, this is probably one of those Gemaras where the Gemara is encrypting ideas that are much deeper than what I'm presenting. I'm just simply reading and translating the words. So, Imale Gago Chama Nishma Kol Hamana Shel Rami. Had it not been for the song of the sun, we would be hearing the cries coming out of Rome. V'Imale Kol Hamana Shel Rami Nishma Kol Gagal Chama. And had it not been for the cries coming out of Rome, we'd be hearing the sun basically cutting through the sky. Noise cancellation. The two noises are canceling each other out. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa. Shalosh Kolos Hochin, Misofa Olam Ve'ad Sofa. There are three extraordinarily loud sounds that go from one end of the earth to the other. Ve'elahin Kol Galgal Chama, Ve'kol Hamona Shel Rami. The first two we're already familiar with. The Gemara already prepared us to expect these two. One, the sun cutting through the sky. Number two, the Hamona Shel Rami, whatever sound the Gemara is making reference to in terms of Rome. It's armies, it's Colosseums. Not really clear exactly what the kol is from Rome, but anyway, some sound coming out of Rome. And finally, kol neshama b'shashiyotzim and agof, and also the sound of a neshama when it exits the body. V'yeshomrim af leida, some add to the list leida, v'yeshomrim af ridya, and some say the plower as well. Rashi over here goes over, when we say the plower, we probably are referring to some sort of malach over plowing. Anyway, so these are extraordinarily loud sounds that people hear basically from one end of the earth to the other. Ubar Rabbanan Rachme an Nishama b'shash yotzim min haguf uvat luha. And on one thing, the Chachamim begged and beseeched the Kadosh Baruch Hu that they would do away with, and that would be the sound that is produced when the neshama leaves the guf. If everybody would hear it, my best guess would be that that's something that is very dispiriting. And the Chachamim said, you know what, probably be healthier, better if this sound was not being produced and people weren't reminded constantly, there's another neshama that leaves the guf, there's another neshama that leaves the guf. And so the Chachamim asked, and Akash Baruch Hu agreed to do away with that particular sound. It's a great opportunity to review. Today we went over the first Mishnah that was on the bottom of Yud Testament Beis. And that is the idea that we kept the Kohen Gadol up all night through snapping fingers, through having him take a walk on the ground, through having him do some acrobatics, through learning Torah around him. All right, numerous strategies that the Gemara goes over in terms of making sure that the Kohen is going to be staying up the whole night. The Minhagim, the various Minhagim that the Gemara goes over about others staying up the whole night also as a... It's basically a haskara, a reminder that the Kohen Gadol did as well. But the Gemara notes that it had, in some occasions, it had devastating effects, where instead of people staying up and doing things that are productive, so people stayed up and did very unproductive things. The Gemara over here says that there was a lot of promiscuity going on at these kinds of events. And the Gemara has a really interesting back and forth in terms of what was the Kadosh Baruch Hu's reaction, what's Satan's reaction, a lot of interesting Gemaras obviously, we barely scratched the surface. We did the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah talked about the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen. Unclear from the Mishnah or from the Gemara in terms of whether the Kohen Gadol did the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, but there's a mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, which the Mishnah describes. And the Mishnah says it's an adjustable time. Normally, Trumas Hadeshen is done right before dawn, but on Yom Kippur, it was done at midnight, and on Yontif, it was done at the end of the first Hashmar, at the end of the first Mishmar, which comes out to be sometime around 10 or 11 at night. Gemara quoted the Mishnah Zvachim. The Mishnah Zvachim makes a clear distinction between a limb that flies off the Mizbeach before Chatzos versus after Chatzos. And what is that? Meaning, what is the basis of that Mishnah in Zvachim? Why is Chatzos so significant? So Rav offers a pshat, but the Gemara does not like Rav's pshat. In fact, the Gemara categorically rejects Rav's pshat. Our Mishnah certainly does not seem to support it. So therefore, the Gemara opted with a pshat by Rav Yochanan, which took us to the top of Chaf Amud Beis. Rav Yochanan offered a pshat in terms of how to understand why it is that the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen can really fundamentally be done at any point during the night. And the Mishnah in Zvachim is really focused more on the extra boker that's mentioned in the pasuk. The Gemara then goes into a discussion of Kriyas HaGever, which is the time where the under normal circumstances the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen is done. So Kriyas HaGever is what? So it's sometime immediately prior to dawn. But what do the words actually mean? Machlokes between Rav and Rav Shila. Rav says it's that a person is calling out, and Rav Shila says it's a rooster. The Gever over here is a reference to the roof, a rooster. And the Gemara goes into a lengthy discussion and a brisa that supports Rav. And tomorrow when we start, we're going to start with a brisa that supports Rabbi Shila.